Welcome back. Well, thus far, there are 7 confirmed coronavirus cases in the country. Others are still being tested as the country awaits more returns from Wuhan, China, where the virus is suspected to have originated. While the outbreak appears to be slowing in that region, questions are still being asked about the readiness of other countries to deal with a virus of this nature. Netcare, for one, has been preparing for the eventuality on home ground, and company's group CEO Richard Friedland joins us now to discuss what an outbreak of this magnitude means for the business. Thanks so much, Richard, for joining us this evening. So right at the top, as the number of confirmed cases in South Africa rises, panic is taking hold. Is the panic warranted?
No, the panic is not warranted. And what is warranted is an abundance of caution. We all need to stand together and work together as South Africans to try and prevent any further spread of this coronavirus, or what has been called COVID-19. And I want to say a shout out right at the start for our Minister of Health, Dr. Zweli Mkhize. I think they're doing an outstanding job in conjunction with the National Institute of Communicable Diseases in controlling and managing the situation. But we all, as South Africans, need to take the necessary precautions to ensure that we don't have a spread in South Africa. And we as a company have been preparing for this since the Ebola outbreak in 2014. And we have a number of precautions that we've put in place to ensure that we can avoid the spread and we can keep our patients, our staff, our doctors, and the broader public are safe.
This is key, Richard, where, of course, you know, there's a lot of talk about the vulnerability of South Africa to a disease like this, given our high TB rates, for one. How are you rating South Africa's preparedness to actually tackle this challenge if it does hit full force? Can we cope?
I think we can. There is a full pandemic plan that has been issued. The private sector, right across the sector, is prepared and is working in close collaboration and cooperation with our Department of Health and with the NICD. Netcare, as such, we've been running what we would call a screening line, where we screen anyone coming into our emergency departments or our hospitals against their travel history and illness. We've screened since Ebola more than 15,000 patients. Since early January, we've screened more than 2,000 patients. And should we feel any of those need to be escalated, we do so in collaboration with the NICD. And to date, of the many, many thousand of cases, we've only referred 70, of which we've only done tests on probably about 35 or 40, all of which have been negative. Obviously, we now have 7 cases in the country, and there are a number of contacts associated with those cases. And the important thing is to follow up with those contacts and to test those contacts. And so we're taking a number of precautions within Netcare, as are many of the public sector hospitals and private sector hospitals.
I want to take a look at collaboration here. You alluded to the collaboration with the NICD. What kind of collaboration at this stage coming to the fore with regards to working with the public sector on this? Because there are designated hospitals, Richard, to deal with this outbreak, and whether you have medical aid or not at this stage to pay for private healthcare seems to be or mean very little right now.
Well, the minister has decreed that everyone who is tested positive will be quarantined within a hospital, and certainly the private sector stands ready to play its role within that. We have a very specific plan within Netcare, if I can just mention it to you.
Yeah.
You'll notice that at every one of our facilities, we have set up outside gazebos. We're copying the American model, where everyone coming into the hospital, whether you're a contractor, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a nurse, or you're just visiting, are going to be assessed from a travel and from an illness perspective before coming in to any of our facilities. And obviously, we're insisting on hand hygiene, which is the single most important precautionary measure in terms of this. The NICD is part of our screening line. They assess every case with us, and we meet regularly with the the department, there is a national coordinating meeting on a weekly basis to ensure that we're all singing off the same hymn sheet, as it were, in coordinating all of our efforts in this regard. At the moment, patients have been admitted to public facilities, but that may well change, and we are ready and prepared should that indeed be the case.
I ask about the collaboration with public hospitals because, of course, the immediate question that springs to mind right at the top is whether or not we've got the right infrastructure and trained healthcare professionals in place to handle the coronavirus cases that do come their way.
I do think we've got them. Remember, we deal with communicable diseases on a regular basis. Recently, we treated someone with viral hemorrhagic fever or Congo fever who walked out of our hospital alive and well, and the public sector treats a lot of communicable diseases as well. And so this kind of treatment protocol and this level is not uncommon on the African continent. And so we should see the COVID virus and corona in the same light. And just for our listeners to remember that the vast majority of people who contract this virus will be largely unaffected. It really is the more elderly or those with what we call comorbidities, in other words, other illnesses or other sicknesses that are more at risk. But the vast, vast majority of South Africans or anywhere else in the world who may contract this are going to have very, very mild symptoms, if any at all.
Richard, I've got to ask, having said all of that, how rife is the risk of resources being diverted from other areas of critical care in order to tackle this problem head on?
Well, I think that, providing care is a great privilege. But with that comes an enormous responsibility, and we should leave absolutely no stone unturned or no cost spared in ensuring the sanctity of life. And so anyone in a critical emergency, whether it's trauma or anything life-threatening, will get first priority. And to the extent that there are cases that require that level of care, of course resources will be diverted towards them. Yeah. In terms of Netcare itself, we've identified, should there be cases, certain facilities that would tackle these cases exclusively, which would allow the majority of facilities to continue operating as normal.
Has the Netcare fork out additional capex?
We have taken additional precautions. For instance, we run very sophisticated ultraviolet light robots which disinfect a room and a bed between 1.5 to 10 minutes, and we have purchased more of those. We've certainly made sure we have enough stock in place to deal with the worst case scenarios. But these are precautions you would expect of anyone within the healthcare sector, and we see that as our responsibility.
Let's leave it there, Richard. Thanks so much for having joined us this evening. That, of course, the Group CEO of Netcare, Richard Friedland.